I'm going to call it words of witchcraft, or works of witchcraft might be better. I was in here praying 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I walk and I pray. And I really sensed the Holy Spirit beginning to speak to me. And He began to share some things that I guess I had suspected and was suspect of, but it hadn't been real to me yet. It was like I knew it, but I wouldn't accept it. And it was something like this. About 5 or 6 years ago, whenever that it was that I came to this city, about 6 months after we had began pastoring, and the word had gotten out about what we were preaching and teaching and believing, things like the kingdom of God, things like the overcoming church and not the escaping church, things like the truth about Christmas, the truth about Easter, the truth about Halloween, home and family, tithing, rebuking the devourer. We spent the first 6 or 8 months that I was in this city teaching those things. The Holy Spirit began to show me that as we began to teach these things, the word began to get out. I was getting phone calls, calling me Jim Jones and all sorts of things like that. And the Holy Spirit began to show me that around that time, around 6 months after that we were here, that a literal satanic meeting took place about me, about my family, and about the church that I at that time pastored. The purpose of that satanic meeting was to destroy me, get me out of this city, to split that church, and to cause what we were preaching and bringing to terminate. I really sensed that they even got something of my mind personally, a shirt or something that literally belonged to me, and did a satanic thing with it, with the blood and the burning. And that's the power, that's the way that I began to receive this as I was listening to the Holy Spirit. And most of you know what happened. A few months after that, the denomination at which time I was a member of and served asked us to leave. We did. And so what they had tried to do to that church in part took place. But I would not leave the city. And we started what we're doing now. But the Lord showed me that that took place, and that that prayer, that satanic meeting that really took place at that time was still in the atmosphere. It was still working. And that what it had done from this satanic meeting, they had released a power in the realm of the Spirit that had caused people's hearts to harden. And that's the way I heard it. Had caused people's hearts to harden towards me, towards my family, and towards the church. And that from that releasing, that was still going on to a degree. And that what I needed to do as a pastor was first of all be aware of it, make the people aware of it, and then we can deal with it. We can bring it down and destroy it. So I began to search the Scriptures. I began to really look into the Scriptures to try to find out what, you know, the hardness of heart that kept coming to me. It had caused the people to be hard towards me. And that was much the way that it was. The first 6 or 8 months, man, everything was smooth. Everybody was happy. And then all of a sudden, a hardness came on some people's hearts. Am I right, folks that was with us then? And all of a sudden, a real hardening came. And I couldn't tell them anything. They wouldn't listen to me. I couldn't teach them anything. They just would not receive from it. And from time to time, that's still been working. That's still been working. And so I can look back now, and I'm so thankful for years of ministry, because now I can look back, and I'm not preaching this from something that I'm suspecting to happen in the future. I know that this is real, what I'm telling you. And this is actually what happened. And so I began to search the Scriptures and try to find out what about this hardness of the heart? And so I began to look, and as I looked, it began to get bigger and bigger. And the words that are associated with witchcraft are so many. Words like divineth, enchantment, enchanter, soothsayer, sorcerer, sorceress, familiar spirits, charmed, charmers, witch, wizard, witchcraft, divination, magic, magician. All these words were there, and it boggled me to start with because there were so many words. And so I began to sit down and take time with my concordances and study habits, and I even ordered a computer program to help me to do some study here and helping me get this kind of together. And it was just so much, and it was so big, but I really felt like the Spirit was trying to share something with me. And in defining these words, I kept running into other words. These words in their definitions would cross and mingle with other definitions and other words. And I kept running into words like whisper, private prayer, incantation, secret, magic spell, to cover, enwrapping, covertly. And what covertly means is hidden or disguised shelter. Conjure, amulet. I began to run into all of these words of witchcraft. And I was boggled, and it was a big fog. And I'm not even here now trying to tell you that I have got clarity on what I'm sharing with you today. I just know the Spirit is saying something to me, and I feel like He's instructed me to share this with us, and as a body, that we'll pull this thing down finally. And we'll go forth, because that was kind of the way He said it to me, was that if once you get this down, then the blessings of God can really come forth on the work and on the ministry and on this area. And that's what we're here for, isn't it? So all of these things were happening, but what I found also was that usually, not always, but usually, where one of these people, these witches or wizards or wise men, or where one of these people was found, usually you'd find more. They never were like alone. You would always find two or three or maybe four of them of the same names kind of together. And I began to see that these people hung together. They kind of stuck together. They communed together. And a couple of scriptures, like in Genesis 41:8, Pharaoh called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. In Exodus 7:11, which we're going to be reading, and you can be turning to Exodus if you will, the Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt also did in like manner with their enchantments. So you start seeing that in one verse, sometimes three or four or more of these words were used together. And you started seeing that these people hung together. And I really believe that just as sure as the satanic ritual took place about me and my family and the church, just as sure as that took place and that those people hung together, I believe that what they send forth and put out into the realm of the Spirit that comes on people causes these people that this gets on to stay together. And God, even in Deuteronomy, where He writes about these things and He tells us not to associate with them, not to be around them and all these things, and He writes really the law about them, He puts them together as well. There shall not be found among you anyone who is a divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or who calls up the dead. So I began to see that not only did these people hang together, but the Lord thought of them together. He saw them together. And even though there are so many different definitions and so many different words and so many different things, I still saw that once you got the handle on it, once you got a a working definition of what they were and what they were about, then it wasn't so big after all, because they were usually together. They were usually doing the same thing. They were usually trying to work the same thing together. So though it seemed initially frightening to me because it seemed so vast, in reality it's not. And what I'm wanting you to see is that what I'm sharing with you today is not in any way at all to frighten you or cause you to be afraid of satanic things or witchcraft, but it is to say to you that this thing's not nearly as big as we might surmise if we allow the devil to run away with our minds. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you don't hear me talk about the devil and witchcraft and witches very much, because I give no place to him. I know that he is on a leash and he can only do what God lets him do. And I know that. But at the same time, these people are powerful. These people are real. The scriptures speak of them. Therefore, they aren't fiction. They are wise. They are smart. And they're out to destroy me and this church. Therefore, they're out to get you. And so for that reason, I'm wanting to bring this today and for the next couple of weeks. And I don't know all I'm going to say. I get in here on Sunday mornings and I try to get alone for a little while. And I try to talk some of these things and pray about some of these things and hear how they sound. But I really don't know what's going to come out of this one. And I want to say this. What I relay to us today and for the next couple of weeks, I don't want you only thinking about some satanic group that's up here in the park. And I don't want you thinking about somebody who used to come to church or is coming to church here now. I don't even want you thinking about that person to your right or to your left, though it may be your husband or your wife or your child. What I want you to hear and what I want you to look at is, in any way could this spirit that this occult group got together and launched into the realm of the spirit, has it in any way influenced you? Has it in any way influenced the way your heart responds to the Word of God? Is your heart hard? Can you listen to the Word of God? Now that's what I'm wanting to try to get to us. Because you see, as I studied this, I'm going to go ahead and tell you where I'm going today. Because as I studied this, I found out that it had gotten to my heart. As I studied this, I found out that some of my prayers that I thought I was praying for people were actually enchantments. They were manipulative prayers. Prayers that I would say something like this: Father God, cause this person to do what I want him to do. Now that's just, as I saw this, and as I open this up to you, I hope you see it. But as I saw this, I saw that what I was really doing was releasing an enchantment on this person. Because that might not have been what God's perfect will was for this person to do. What I wanted them to do. I got to learn what God's will is for that person and agree with that person for the will of God in their life. I can't pray manipulative prayers. That's just witchcraft. That's charismatic witchcraft. And I'm just saying that because that's what we are. We're charismatics. We can say that. But it's not just the charismatics. The Church of God people do it. The Assemblies of God people do it. People that pray everywhere do what I'm telling you. How many of you ever prayed a prayer like that? Cause somebody to do something. That's what I'm talking about. And I saw this. And I began to see that many of the prayers that we're releasing are enchantments. And I want you to do something, you want to do something else, and a house divided against itself, what? Cannot stand. And so these things began to work in me. They began to come into me. And so what I want you to do today is, I'm going through this. Please don't think about a person, anybody that's here now or is not here now, or anybody that you've ever known. All I want you to do is look inward. That's what I'm doing. A general definition that I learned for these workers of witchcraft is this. And I'm going to say it twice, and then I'm going to show you how I derived to this. But a general definition is this: a person or people who conjure up a dark, evil cloud like enwrapping spell on others by using private prayers. I'm going to say it one more time, then I'm going to show you how I came about this. A person or people who conjure up a dark, evil cloud like enwrapping spell on others by using private prayers. I'm going to say something, then I'm going to work through this, and I'll probably say it again. But have you ever got around people, maybe a person, but people, that when you got around them, there was just a heaviness? You didn't enjoy their company. They didn't enjoy your company. And there was just a heaviness there. And it wasn't something that you could see or even explain, but you knew that it was there. If you relate to what I just said, would you lift your... Sure, most of us have done that. Well, what you can just about be sure of is that that person is praying for you. But the way they're praying for you is God caused them to be what I want them to be. And what that will work is this heavy and wrapping enchantment. And you don't enjoy them, and they don't enjoy you. And what I'm after today is to uncover this sucker and bring him down. I want us to understand that when we pray for people, we need to pray God's will for that person, not my will or your will, but the Lord's will. Now, I want to show you how I derived at this definition. Most of these words, as I looked them up, had pretty much a same definition. But I just wanted to take three of these. We'll be looking at three more in just a second. Most of you know how I study. You've been around me long enough. You know that I use the concordances. I look at the Hebrew, the Greek. I do all I can. The translations are wonderful and great. But I get so much more understanding as I look into the Hebrews and I look into the Greek definitions of the word. It tells me what the word means, therefore what the author, and specifically the Holy Spirit, is wanting to say. Here are three words. I'm not going to try to enunciate it. The numbers that you see are the Strong's Concordance numbers. And there's the Hebrew word. Now this first one there means to hiss. That is to whisper a magic spell. To prognosticate. And prognosticate simply means to foretell. It's a speaking into existence. A magic spell. The way this word is translated, and you find four of these individuals that I just said, this one word, divine, divineth, enchantment, and enchanter. And that one word is used that many times and translated that many ways. And what this person is a person that speaks forth a magic spell. 6049 means to cover, to cloud over, to act covertly. The word covertly means hidden or disguised shelter. That is to practice magic. It's translated soothsayer, soothsayers, sorceries, enchanters. So what we're talking about when we're talking about a soothsayer or a sorcerer is someone who speaks forth something that clouds them over. That literally puts them in some kind of a shelter and something that they really can't see, but they know something's going on over them, something's going on around them, but they don't really understand it. Figure out which way to go. There's a covering that's happened to them. And these enchanters, these soothsayers, have released this upon them. And then the last one that I'm looking at here, just to show you how I come up with the definition that I just gave you, is a whisperer. That is a private prayer, an incantation, an amulet. Now, I'm not going to say anything about this today, but sometimes people can give you something that'll remind you of them or something else, and it will bring a spell. And every time you look at that, it brings that spell. I'm not going to get into it. This is one of some things I began to see. The way this word is translated is enchantment, orator, prayer, and charmed. So my definition came from all the words, but I just showed you these three so you would see that I wasn't just bringing out something out of nowhere, that I was trying to get a good working definition for these workers of witchcraft. And again, the definition that I'm working with right now, and again, let me say this now, and I want to say it three or four times. Where I'm at right now with this might not be where I'm at next week. I'm in study. And I really feel that the Lord has impressed me to share this with our congregation. Now, I might not be at the place that I'm in right now, but right now, this is where I'm at with this working definition. A person or people who conjure up a dark, evil, cloud-like enwrapping spell on others by using private prayers. Now, this is different, isn't it? This isn't quite like our typical running and shouting and spitting Sunday morning. But I really feel this is what the Lord wants us to hear. Because I have been guilty, and I am the first to admit it, that I have released some incantations on some of you. And I'm going to repent, and I'm going to get them back. And I'm going to do it today before I leave. Now, let me work through some of these things, and we'll go through some of this. Now, I want to say this, and I said it already, but these workers of witchcraft in scriptures are very real, very dangerous, and very, very powerful people. We mock them, and we joke about them, and we laugh at them. But folks, I'm here to tell you, they will destroy a church. They will destroy your lives. They will destroy your families simply by working witchcraft. How many of you believe that the Bible says, just because, no other reason, but just because the Bible says these people are real, they are really real. They are really real. I want you to know that. See, it's like a lot of people don't believe in demons today. Where'd they go? It's the same way with these guys. You know, I used to mock, laugh, say, ha ha. And it's true, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But they have done some destruction, I believe, in my life, in some of your lives, and in the church body as a whole. And that's what I'm trying to work about. Now, the first time that we meet these people is in Genesis 41. Don't turn there. Just listen to what I'm saying. I'm coming to Exodus where you're at in just a second. But we meet them the first time in the scriptures in Genesis 41. And this is where Joseph is in jail. And the Pharaoh has had a dream about the cows and the corn and the 7 years of famine that's coming on the land. Well, Pharaoh calls him up, and he also calls his magicians and his wise men, and he calls all these people up to try to interpret his dream, and they couldn't. And, of course, Joseph did. You know the story. Joseph did. Joseph used the things of God to interpret the story or the dream to Pharaoh. But later on in Genesis, you find that Joseph had moved from his position that he then interpreted dreams with, and later on you find out that he has a divining cup. The cup that was in Benjamin's grain sack was a divining cup that Joseph was now using to predict the future. My point is simply this. When you get around this force, when you get around this power, you can be an interpreter of dreams. You can have visions and revelation from the time you were a little bitty boy. You can wear a robe of many colors and be Father God's favorite. But you get around these people and you'll start divining. You'll start working witchcraft. It'll get on you. Again, you hear me say it so often, beware who you fellowship with. Young people, hear me. If it got on Joseph, it'll get on you. And parents, hear me. If it got on Joseph, it'll get on your children. This stuff is real. The next time we meet him is right where you're at. And I want to look at this real rapidly. I've got 15 minutes. I'll use it all, but I'll quit at 12 o'clock. Exodus 7, I'm going to read verse 11. What we find here is this is where another Pharaoh that is in the land now, where Moses comes back and he tells Pharaoh, let my people go. And you know what he did? He didn't let them go initially. He put more labor on them. He made it worse. And what did the people of God do towards Moses as Pharaoh wouldn't let him go? What was the people's response towards Moses? What? Angry. They got hard. Anytime God begins to move in your life or in an area, you could expect people to get angry and get hard. two things you'll see as we move through these scriptures that I'll be looking at here in just a second. God is moving. There's a people that are hardening. Just as sure as God moves, folks, there's going to be another group of people that gets hard against the things of God. Always is that way from Genesis to Revelation. What happened when Jesus came to town? Was God moving? Were the people getting hard? When Paul came to town, was God moving? But at the same time, were the people getting hard? You got to learn is wherever God moves, wherever there's a move of God, there's going to be these incantations that go forth. There's going to be this stuff that's going to start happening in the realm of the Spirit, and it's going to start getting on people. And what God is showing us right now is how to recognize it, how to really recognize what's going on. I think this is just a word of wisdom for us that we'll understand what's really happening, not only in our church, but also in the church in general. Now, here's Moses, and he comes back, and now the Lord God says, now I want you to go to Pharaoh again, and I want you to take Aaron with you, and you take Aaron and you throw his rod down, it's going to become a snake, and you know the story. And he calls his magicians in there, and his wise men, his magicians, and his sorcerers, and they do incantations, and their rods become snakes as well. All right, in verse 11 of chapter 7. Then Pharaoh also called for the wise men and the soothsayers, And they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts. Now, King James Bible here says incantations. For each one threw down his staff, and they turned into serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart was what? Hardened. And he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. The first time I began hearing this was the thing about the hard heart. And all of a sudden, when I read that passage, I said, well, there's a hard heart. And so I began to study this. And it's what we find here are three of them. He brings the wise men, he brings the sorcerer, the magicians, and they do incantations. And I want to show you what was happening. Wise men. They are intelligent people. Intelligent, they're wise, they're intelligent, they're skillful or artful. And it's translated cunning, subtle, and wise. I think we, particularly us charismatics and Pentecostal type people, what we do is we think of witchcraft, and we think of ignorant, unlearned people. We think of people that haven't much education. We think of people that don't know better. I'm wanting to tell you today, these folks are sharp. They're wise, they're skillful, and they're artful. And we sometimes take it a little bit with a slant. We don't look at it like it needs to be looked at. Now, just to show you, just to give you a scripture, do you remember in Jude where the angel, when he's speaking to Satan, says, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." Now there's a lot there. But we just, "Oh, you old bad devil." Now, hear me right, and you know how I feel about the devil. I give him no place, and I talk to him as he's the devil. But he is a heavenly dignitary. Now, I don't know how that hits you. But even the angel said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." These people are wise. They're cunning. They're skillful at what they do. And that's the word there for wise men. And then sorcerer. The sorcerers means to whisper a spell. That is to incant and practice magic. So what these guys began to do, as here comes Moses and Aaron, these guys began to incant. They began to pray. They began to say things. They began to whisper things and get a cloud on them. They began to get their words working. They began to cover them with a spell. Magicians. You know, we think of magicians basically as somebody who can do these magic tricks. But a magician is a horoscopist in the scriptures. That means somebody that can look at the stars and tell you what's going to happen. And then what they do is they draw magical lines or circles. And you've seen it on television how they make the circles. And they put these demonic signs in there, and they do their incantations and blood and animal things, and that's what these guys are doing here. They might not do it in front of Moses, but they're going to slip off and do it secretly. And they're going to create a cloud that's going to come on the people of God. It's going to come on Israel. It's going to come on. It's going to come on Moses and Aaron. And then secret arts or incantations, enchantments. The King James Bible says means a blaze, from the idea of enwrapping, magic as covert. Again, covert means a place where you're in something that you really can't see what you're in. It's translated flaming enchantment. So as Moses and Aaron came, what these guys began to do was work their spell. They threw down their rods, and they become snakes too. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this because I'm going to have to speed it up here in just a second. But you got this one, then the next miracle, the next thing that Moses is going to do is turn the water to blood. The next thing he's going to do is bring frogs on the land. Now, this is what they do. Did they do what Moses did? Did they throw down their staffs and they become snakes too? So that's just what they needed, was some more snakes, wasn't it? Moses turned the water to blood, and then they turned the water to blood. That's what they needed, was some more blood. They needed some more water turned to blood. But that's what they did. They could do it. The third thing they did, Moses brought frogs all up from the Nile. You know what these guys did? Brought up more frogs from the Nile. God takes everything and works it together for His glory. Everything. And though these guys are powerful, I promise you, if we allow the Lord to speak to us through this thing, He's going to make us all better Christians. Because whatever the Lord has worked upon us, He's going to turn it around and cause all things to work together for good for those that love God. Do you believe that? Yeah. I believe it, Willis. I really believe it. I believe that the Lord God can take whatever enchantment, whatever spell, whatever thing that's been cast on my life, once I have uncovered it, once we've uncovered it upon our lives, and we can bring it down, and it'll turn around and do something good. It'll bring more of a curse on the land of Egypt. More frogs. More water turned to blood. More snakes on them. Now, the first principle that I want to draw from here is you can be spiritual, but if you stay around these people, stay around these things, you'll start to blend with them. Talked about that with Joseph. And now what I'm talking about are these people, these encanters. And the second principle that I want us to see is that the witchcrafts are not always ignorant. These guys that work this witchcraft are not always ignorant. And then what we're starting to see is that these people, the third principle that I want us to see, is that God's power always prevails. God's power will always prevail. But we've got to hang around to the end. If those guys had thrown down their snakes, their sticks, and they turned to snake, and you cut a trail, would you have ever seen which one swallowed up the rest of them? If you'd have been there when they turned the water into blood, and you said, man, they're just as powerful as Moses is, and you didn't hang around to see how the outcome come, would you think they were just as powerful? Would you know the difference? Are the frogs? What I'm wanting to say here is that they went through 10 plagues before they really found out who God was, where they really found out where God was. They thought their gods were God. And a lot of times us Christians, we get to a point, we get to a place where we can't handle it anymore, and we cut a trail. What I'm trying to say to us today in this particular point is, folks, we got to hang around to the end. How many have read the end of the book? Who wins? And whatever's going on in this church or any church, folks, what we've got to learn to do is, if we know God has planted us there, what we've got to do is stay there to the end. There may be more frogs to come. There may be more water turned to blood. There may be more snakes coming in here than we got now. But I know if I hang around to the end, I know God's going to deal with me, because I know my heart and I know this leadership's heart, and I know God's going to deliver us to the Red Sea, and He's going to destroy Pharaoh. Amen. Now that's the end of the story. So that's the third principle that I want us to say. But the fourth principle is the one that I really want us to get today. In the next 5 minutes, hear this principle. In verse 13, it says there, yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Now this is the primary principle. If we can get this today, then we'll have it. When wise men and sorcerers and magicians and enchantments are working and going out, we will always see the hardening of hearts. We will always see the hardening of hearts. Because that's what they do. They harden hearts and they cause people not to listen. Now hang with me and you see if I'm telling you the truth or not. First time that Moses went and said, let my people go, and Pharaoh put more on the people, how did the people respond to him? Got hard. Now here's Pharaoh. Enchantments are going out. All this stuff's happening. Now Pharaoh's getting hard. Now look at chapter 7 and verse 20. You'll see that this is a prevailing principle. This is where the blood is turned, where the water is turned to blood. So Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded, and he lifted up his staff and struck the water that was in the Nile in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. And the fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile, and the blood was through all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt, now look at this, look at verse 22 with me. But the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts or their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. I had never before attached the hardening of Pharaoh's heart with the enchantments of the workers of witchcraft. And there it is. And the continuation of the magician's work, the continuation of the workers of witchcraft, was the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Whenever God is moving, you're going to have a people moving with God. You're also going to have a people getting hard. It's a principle, and it happens every single time. And I'm not going to take time to show you. You can dig it out. I did. And you can find here that every time that he talks about the magicians working, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Now, God allowed that. God allowed Pharaoh's heart to harden. I don't understand all that, but God allowed it. And God allows some people's hearts to get hardened. And I don't understand that. But I know God does, and I know he works it out for his glory. But I know at the same time that a work was doing, that the word of God was coming forth, and the power of God was being displayed in that place, in that city, then at the same time there was a people that was getting hard. And I look back over the years that God has allowed me to minister and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have seen the same thing. We get a move of God, and I get criticized. Well, somebody say, that's right, Pastor. And so we get another move of God, and we get criticized. My goodness, we got people healing up here the other day, and they said, boy, he worked that miracle. I said, I worked my first miracle. And I thought people would understand. You know, I can't work no miracle. It's the Holy Ghost in me. I was allowed to work a miracle. Did you hear him say, he worked that miracle? Whenever there's a move of God, you're going to have these things coming through the atmosphere. You're going to have these things coming through the realm of the Spirit. And they get on you, and you don't understand it. And you're in a box. You can't turn, and you're this way, and you're that way. You just know something's there. I'm trying to tell you today what it is, and I'm trying to tell you today we can get it off of us. There's a day we're going to go through Egypt, and God's going to dump it all back on Pharaoh. And we're going to walk through free. And that's what I'm waiting for, people. Aren't you? I'm sorry, baby. I just see the end. I see where we're going. And every one of these things, every time, and they got these little breakthroughs. Remember, they would do something, and like the frogs. God would do the frogs. And Pharaoh would say, I can't stand these frogs no more. Tell Moses to come here. They'd get a little breakthrough. The spirit would get weak, and he would say, tell the man of God to come here, and let's compromise. They get a little breakthrough. They got these little breakthroughs all the way through the end. There's four or five times they'd get breakthroughs. But Moses never would compromise. Moses never would say, this is enough and we're going now. You know, he didn't go until the end. And folks, we cannot even consider a compromise with demonic spirits. We aren't there yet. We're on about plague three or four there. But the Red Sea is coming. Can you hear what I'm trying to say to you? And you can look through this and you can look at every time that the magicians were working. And let me show you this. They get less and less powerful. I would love to take time and go through this. You can do it. But they've got less and less powerful every time. They finally, the boils come. And the Bible says they couldn't even stand before Moses because of the boils. And after that time, that was about the sixth one. The next four, they got a breakthrough every time. The breakthroughs came quicker and the breakthroughs came easier. And they got less and less and less powerful. How many of you really believe that we've been at this thing about 5 years now, going on 5 years, and that we have really began to damage the demonic spirits in this area? Do you believe that? I believe it. I really do believe it. And they're getting less and less powerful, and they're coming down. And there's a day coming, folks. There's a day coming when God's going to bring the last judgment, and He's going to rain out a blessing upon this whole area that we have not yet begun to comprehend. There's going to be an evangelism movement in this land where people are going to come running in, show me how to get saved. I was talking to Dewey Hammond yesterday. He came by my house, and he was telling me about Russia. My goodness, people begging to get saved in Russia. I want you to see this. If you can get these principles, just this principle, that as you study this, you'll see that when these enchantments were going forth, people's hearts were getting hardened, but at the same time, God was moving. And it kept getting bigger. And God is bigger. And these things finally came down. I'm quitting. Let me just jump over here to the end. Destruction over the ruler spirits that are over God's people is what we're after. I want to close in Job. Just turn to Job with me. I want to ask you to be honest. I've been honest with you. Job 42. Once you understand your enemy, you have a much greater opportunity to defeat your enemy. Once you know his strengths or his weaknesses, then you're able to bring him down. And God is starting to show us now the strength of this enemy, the strength of ruler spirits in an area, is the incantations that we within ourselves release upon each other. And I'm really wanting you to hear me and hear me right. And I'm not saying this to anybody, I'm saying it to me. I admit I have said what I called prayers, and at that point in time, I really thought I was praying for you. But what I was really doing was releasing a manipulative word on your life, trying to get you to do what I wanted you to do. How many of you would be honest enough today to say that you've probably done that to me? If you can hear this, it's going to change our lives. You really were wanting to do right. You didn't mean me any harm. You were just wanting to help me. But what you were doing was wanting me to do it your way, maybe rather than the way God wanted me to do it. In Job, this has happened. There were some people that wanted Job to do some things their way, and Job wanted to do some things his way. At the end of the chapter, end of the book of Job, I want to read verses, chapter 42. I want to start with verse 2. I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. I'm not through on me. You really didn't understand what you were doing. There were things too wonderful for us to understand. How many is thanking Jesus right now for allowing us to understand some deeper things? And that we really will be, by our words, we will be justified, and by our words, we really will be condemned. Do you see? That's what I want us to see. And then we'll read on now. Verse 6. Let's just read verse 6. Therefore, Job says, I retract. What do some other versions say? What? Despise. Repent. and I repent, is what NASV. Therefore, I retract and repent in dust and ashes. And what I'm telling you today, folks, is that I'm going to retract what I've said. I've got to do it. I can't retract what you said. You can't retract what I said, but I can retract what I said. And you can retract what you said. And we can bring that thing down right now. Our releasing of incantations upon each other's lives, we can bring it down right now. And we can repent. Repent means now we understand and we'll walk another way. We just won't do that anymore. And so when you find yourself praying, Lord, show him to do this. Cause him to do this. Let the word of the Lord speak to you. And say, Lord, your will be done. Father, when I pray for pastor, just cause me to pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon his life, that he may know. And just stop there. I want to know what the spirit of wisdom and revelation has to say to our people and to my life. If you are like me, and this has ministered to you, and I pray it really has, and that maybe not me, but somebody somewhere along the line, you possibly have released a bad word, an incantation, something that didn't really bless them, that you were really wanting them to do it your way, and you want to retract that right now, and you want to release them to go on with their walk in God and get that thing off of them, you want to do that. I want you to stand up. I want you to come down here. And we're going to do it together. We're going to ask God, to, as we retract that thing, to forgive us and allow us to move on with him. This is heavy metal. Heavy metal. This is big stuff. And I'll tell you the truth. I don't believe there's a person in here that hadn't done this sometime with the other. But now, if you don't want to come, that's totally up to you. But I want to bring back the things that I have said on people. I really do. I don't want anything that I've ever prayed to cause them or hinder them in any way to do what God has called them to do. And I believe I've done that. I really do. As I see the power in this. Amen. How many of you really do want to break the spirit over our area and make it finally and once and for all covered up with tons of water just under the sea? Amen. Do you want to do that? Yeah, I do. That's what I really want to do. Now, understand this. We've got to stay to the end. Understand that we've got to retract. And then we've got to repent. And those are the three things. If we can get those things today, we'll understand that those things that we've released on people are going to come back. And we won't be on them. We just bring them back. Let's just repeat together. Father, in Jesus' name. I retract my witchcraft prayers. I retract my incantations. I admit I did it from my heart. And my purposes were right. But now you've shown me that I was wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. And I retract those words. I retract those prayers. And I retract those incantations. And I repent. I will never, ever pray manipulative prayers on people again. Forgive me, Father. And people that I have done this to, I ask you to forgive me. And I release you to do all that God's called you to do. In Jesus' name. Now just lift your hands and just pray and just thank him. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the revelation. And Lord God, that we have done, Lord God, some incantations. And we have done some things, Lord God, because of a demonic spirit in the land. And Lord God, we uncover him right now. And we understand, oh God, the power of our words. And Lord, we retract them. And Father God, we bring them down in the name of Jesus. Father, now I ask you to cause this word to be clear. Lord, what we've tried to say. And Lord God, not pointing fingers or trying to say this one's a witch or that one's a wizard. But Father God, that we're just understanding, Lord God, some things in the Word of God. And Lord God, I just ask you to help us and show us how to come closer to you. And Lord God, that we'll come to the Red Sea one day. And Lord God, the enemies in this area will be totally destroyed. And we'll be set free and we'll have that final breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Bless you. Amen.